At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hi. Welcome to episode 5, we're on now. How's your week been? Mine's has been rushed, I guess, which is part of the reason why we've got episode 5 a day later than it should have been. I got my days mixed up. Hold my hands up to it. It was my son's birthday yesterday, Wednesday the 3rd, so that's confused me, trying to get that all organised, trying to get everything in. If anybody's got adult children, you'll know how hard it is to buy presents and think of things, because once they go out to work, they buy everything that they need themselves. So when you're asking, what do you need? Their instant answer is, nothing. Don't need anything. Anything I need, I'll buy it myself. That's the usual answer I get from the older one anyway. So I apologise for this being a day late, anybody that was hoping to listen yesterday. Then last night, obviously, we were celebrating. Meal, cake, the usual. Probably put on about 3 stone, but at least it was only one day. We don't eat like that every day, thankfully, because I don't think my body or my hips could take it. How has your week been? Anything exciting been happening? Are you using anybody in Scotland, actually? Are you enjoying the summer holidays? Or have you been away anywhere? We've not planned anything as yet. Still don't know what we're going to do. We might stay in the UK this year, I think. But the weather's a bit horrendous at the moment. I feel as if I'm in December, not July. Can't believe we're still putting the heating on in the middle, well, start of July. Do you think that we would have a wee heat wave? Mother Nature might feel sorry for us yet. What do we think? So this week, I think I'm going to talk about mental health from another perspective. Going to look at it from another side, and that is the side of the family and friends and anybody that knows anyone that is struggling with their mental health, because sometimes it can be difficult to think of what's the right thing to say, what's the right thing to do, because you don't want to make the situation any worse, but you don't want to ignore it either. One thing that I will say is, as long as you're there for the person and they know that you're there and you're there for the right reasons, and that they can trust you, that is the most important thing. Trust is very hard for somebody that is struggling with their mental health, because then, depending on the reasoning, because obviously we know that some people's mental health declines due to trauma, something that they've endured that's not been very nice. So coming from that side of it, trust is a big thing, because we would all do the same. We put walls up, we shut people out, we only trust ourselves, and that's okay in the short term, but it's not realistic in the long term. We do need people around us. We all need people we can rely on. So as long as you let that person know that you're there and you're not going to abandon them, then the trust will come if it's not there already. Let them open up in their own time. Don't force anything, because again, that might be all they've been used to, is being forced into situations, being forced to speak, being forced to do things, whatever it may be. Let them tell you when they're ready. It's about them. They are the most important person. They're the person that we're trying to help. It's not about getting the details, getting the information, getting the gossip. It's about making this person feel most comfortable. And as they open up and as they start to rely on you or trust you, then it'll get easier for them and for you, because you can just run with it. You can go with them. You can let them take the lead, I think is what I'm trying to say. They'll tell you when they need you. They'll tell you what they need. But at the same time, always be alert. And that might sound like I'm contradicting myself, and it's not about contradicting myself. It's about not pushing anybody to do something they're not ready to do. There's many different ways that you can help mental health, help your mental health, help somebody else's mental health. And I think most people just think that you go straight to counselling, you go straight to medication, you go straight to your GP, blah, 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 whatever it may be. But that's not always the case. It can be scary opening up to someone who is a professional. I think a lot of people think when your mental health's declining, people look at you in a different light, or they just think, in inverted commas, you're crazy, or again, in inverted commas, you're mad. That's not the case. Anybody who's worth their salt would not think that at all. Anybody who, one, has experienced having difficulties with their mental health, or two, who is true professional and has empathy, will not think that of you. Another thing people think is that you're automatically going to be sectioned, committed to hospital, however you may describe it. And again, that's not always the case. That is the very last resort. The time when you would potentially be advised or sectioned within a hospital basis would be if you are, one, at risk of harming yourself, two, at risk of harming other people, whether it be people you know or complete strangers, it doesn't matter. And again, that's not always something that you can control, where you need the most help maybe. Your mind takes over. We all know when our thoughts take over, sometimes it can be hard to rationalise them. So don't judge anybody that is in that position, because again, they may not be able to control their thoughts and they just need a bit of help and support till they get their brain stabilised again. When you're speaking to somebody about potentially asking for help, you need to find out first what sort of help they need, what sort of support do they need. Do they just need somebody to talk to open up and to get that sort of weight off their shoulders? Or do they feel as if they're spiralling and they need a bit more? So if somebody just wants to open up and talk, you might be the perfect person, because you might just be there at the right time. They might feel as if they can tell you part of it, but maybe don't want to fully open up to you. And again, that's not a bad thing, because sometimes it may be too hurtful for them and they don't want you to hear some of the things that they've got to say, some of the things that's going on in their head, because again, they don't want to be judged. And no one should ever be judged anyway for struggling with any kind of health reasons. You wouldn't judge somebody if they had a terminal illness or if they had any kind of illness. So why should you judge somebody just because you can't see the illness or you don't know much about it? So going back to helping them, ask them if they want to open up to you or if they want to start opening up to you, and take it from there. Ask them if they would prefer to open up to somebody that they don't know, which again, that would be going down the sort of professional route. If they say yes, then your first protocol would be potentially your GP, unless they decide to want to go down the private route and go through a private counsellor or a private psychologist, psychiatrist. All these things are easily accessible, but they do come at a cost. Obviously, if you go to your GP, and this is within the UK, obviously. Other countries, your health service may be different. But within the UK, then if you go to your GP, you're obviously going to, hopefully, be put on a waiting list. But I do know the waiting lists are very long at the minute, mainly due to funding being cut. So that's why a lot of people will go to a private counsellor or a private therapist. Another thing that may be useful, but not everybody wants to go down that route, is obviously medication. Medication isn't something that should jump into lightly. It's not something your GP will prescribe straight away either, because we do like to see you try and help yourself. There's other ways to help your mental health that doesn't involve medication, and that's not your GP saying, nope, I'm not giving it to you, you don't need it, you don't deserve it. That's just them saying, we need to kind of see how severe this is. Because sometimes you can have a little blip in the moment and it might only last a few weeks. It might last a couple of months. But going through certain processes, then you can maybe figure it out yourself or with the help or the support of others. But then there will be the people who have long-term mental health issues, which can go on for months, years. Some people it does last a full lifetime, and that's the people who potentially need medication. Again, your medication, you may only be prescribed it short term, you may be prescribed it long term, it may be indefinite. A lot of people are scared to take medication because they don't, one, they don't know what they're taking, and two, they're scared that it's going to overtake their thoughts. They won't be theirself, and this isn't always the case. I am a big advocate for meditation, for holistic therapies, for doing things out with medication, but I am also a big advocate for medication as well, which not a lot of people in the private sector, or at least the holistic sector, will say, because they do prefer not to go down the medication route. But I know personally how well medication can work and can change your life. I've been on medication on and off throughout the years, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. If I feel I need it, I'll speak to my doctor. When I think I don't need it, again, I'll speak to my doctor, because you don't want to just come straight off it, because that can cause a whole lot of other issues. But that's down the line. So yeah, medication can be short term, as we said, which means you just need it for maybe a few months and then you'll be reevaluated, see how it goes. Some people, they might need it for years, and that's, again, that's not on you. That's not because you're not doing anything right. That's just what you need. And when I hear people saying, nope, I'm not going on medication, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I always give the same example, and it's, if you were to have a long-term illness or some kind of life-changing illness, then would you take the medication? For example, if you had a heart condition, would you take medication if you had liver, kidney disease, anything like that? If you had asthma, would you take your inhaler every day? And God forbid, touch wood, it never happens to anybody that's listening or anybody, but if you had a terminal illness like cancer, would you take the medication that could potentially save your life, keep you alive? And I'm sure everyone, if not 99.9% of the people listening, would say yes. If it was going to save my life, I would definitely take the medication. So then my next question to you would be, why would you not take medication to help your mental health? As we know, there are many people daily who take their own life due to the position they've found themselves in, through their mental health issues, through the thoughts that are going on in their head. So you taking a medication that's prescribed for that exact reason, or a similar reason, again, could save your life, Because if that then helps with the thoughts going on in your head that's telling you to do something that you know fine well, if you were of sound mind, you would not be thinking these things, or you would not be contemplating these things. That's saving your life, so why would you not do that? Why would you not take a medication that's potentially going to save your life, albeit in a different way? And I don't really want to be morbid about it, so I'll not talk too much about that sort of side of things. But we all know there's many other ways that we can help. There is many other things that can affect your mental health in your daily life. So not just your thoughts, your feelings, your trust. As we spoke about earlier, it's very hard to trust somebody when your thoughts aren't as they once were. It can be hard to leave the house. Sometimes we lock ourselves away. We don't want to see the outside world. We don't want people seeing us. You've got things like agoraphobia. Sometimes it's just, and not just, that's, I'm not putting, making it sound any less than what it is, but sometimes anxiety can stop us from leaving the house. There are ways you can help people in that sense, so maybe asking them if they want to go out a walk with yourself, even if it's just a 5-minute walk around the block. Maybe they would like to go shopping, but they don't feel comfortable going on their own in case they start to panic, in case they feel a certain way. So maybe when you're going shopping, you could ask if they want to go shopping with you. There could be an appointment they want to go to, but they don't know how they're going to get there because, again, anxiety, thoughts, whatever is taking over. Maybe you could be the person that goes to their appointments with them. You don't have to go into the actual appointment, but just guide them there. Be their person, be their right at hand that they feel is missing. Be that crutch that they need in the short term, long term, however it may be. And it might be that you can't do it all the time, but maybe if there's a group of friends, a couple of family members, and you could maybe rotate it. You could, one person takes the person 1 week, somebody else takes them the next week. However it may be, maybe somebody lives closer that prefers going shopping, and they could do that, and then somebody else could take them to the appointments. However you might work it, everybody does things different. They might not even want that kind of help, but just asking them shows them that you care and that you're noticing things. When it comes to appointments, there can be different ways. Now, not all appointments are face to face, especially if you're paying for your appointments. You can usually choose whether you want it face to face or virtually. I think a lot of doctor surgeries are still doing it that way as well. When you phone up for an appointment, you can be asked if you want a face-to-face appointment or do you want a phone consultation. If you feel that you are not quite ready to go outdoors, or that maybe that's the one day that you don't have somebody to support you to take you to the appointment, then you could ask for a phone call. If that's what gets you that initial step to asking for help or support, and that's the only way they can do it or you can do it, that's absolutely fine. Again, you're not going to be judged on it. When it comes to therapy, there's 3 ways that it can be done. Bearing in mind, all therapists are different and they may not all work this way. I know personally I do. So you can have face-to-face consultation. Sometimes face-to-face consultation can be within the practice, if it's sort of NHS or healthcare based. If it's private, it may be within an office or a home, wherever it may be. Some therapists may be willing to come to your home if you really can't leave the house. You may be able to get a home visit. This is worth asking for if you are struggling, especially at the beginning of your therapy. Another way you could do it is the same as with your GP, you could do it over the phone. if you really don't feel as if you can face anybody yet, but you want to talk, you want to open up. And the third way is video call. Technology is all different now. So video call would still be almost the same as having a face-to-face. It's almost that in between of a face-to-face and a phone consultation, because you're face-to-face in the sense that you're facing each other on camera, but you're not with each other, so you're talking over a screen, which is, in a sense, a bit like talking over the phone. But it still gives you a chance to open up, get a guide of, or a sense of how much you think you can open up to this person. Again, even with your therapist, trust has to be there. You have to have some kind of connection. If you don't feel a connection with that person, I wouldn't say straight away, give it a couple of appointments, because sometimes we can have a sort of wall up, we can have our back up, we can be very defensive. So we don't always pick up what that person's really like and how much we might connect to them. The same as what you, when you first start dating, I suppose, you don't fully get a vibe for the person. Give it a few appointments. If you really feel as if you can't open up to that person, or you're not clicking with them, whatever it may be, if it's through your healthcare system, NHS, whatever it may be, then you could potentially ask for a different therapist. You're not guaranteed to get one. You would need to explain why. And I guess it depends on waiting lists. If it's private sector, then obviously it's just a case of you not making any more appointments and then booking in with potentially another therapist. Always put yourself first, or always put that person first. Make sure everything that is needed to be done is done. Another thing that can affect your mental health is your personal upkeep. So we've spoke about, if they struggle to go out, then you could potentially be taking them out and about, or whether it be to the shops or to appointments, whatever it may, or just a walk round the block. But their personal upkeep can be affected as well. And it's not a case of just going in and saying, oh, you need a bath, you need a shower, you're starting to smell, anything like that. Because again, that makes them think that you're judging them. So you want to think of it in a different way. So you could maybe be saying things like, would you like to get your hair done? Would you like me to do any washing for you? Is there any jobs round about the house you want me to do? Even buy them like a nice little pamper set where they could be having a nice relaxing bath with bubbles in it. There could be a face mask in it, a nice candle, something like that. And that's not you saying to them, right, go get washed, or you're letting yourself slip, anything like that, because that can be quite embarrassing for that person. They obviously know that they are lacking in personal care, but they don't have the motivation, they don't have the get up and go that they would normally have. So where we would all brush our teeth every day, they maybe don't, because they just, they lie about, they're very upset, they're very emotional, they're zoned out. So think of different ways and more, and it's not mollycoddling, it's protecting somebody, and it's protecting, it's making sure that you don't embarrass them any more than how they already feel. Because when you say that you're going to go and visit them, they'll already be thinking that I've not done this, I've not done that, but I really can't be bothered doing it either. So they know that there's a possibility you're going to come in and judge them. So the fact that they're going to let you in their house to begin with is a huge step for them. So I think the kind of overall thing that I'm getting to is, be mindful. Choose your words very carefully. Don't judge. And just be a best friend. Because none of us know when you're going to need help or support. None of us know when something might happen in our life to take us down a path that we never ever anticipated, or we never ever imagined what happened to us, and you don't want somebody to say, well, you weren't there for me, so why should I be there for you? And it's not a, I'm going to do that so that you do it for me. It's nothing like that. But when somebody's at the lowest and then they come out the other side, they will always 100% remember who was there for them and who wasn't. And the people that weren't tend to not make the cut to go on with their future with them. They tend to be the people that they will forever keep at a distance. You might not realise that that's the reason, or, and it's not that you've done anything wrong, because you haven't. Maybe that person just needs the more supportive people around them, and they want people that are maybe empathetic, that understand, and not the ones that judge. None of us want anybody judging us, regardless of whether we're of sound mental health or we have some struggles. Nobody wants anybody saying negative things about them. And I'm sure you can understand that. So just be that support, be the crutch, be the person that you would want around you if you had a sort of downfall within your life, if you had some struggles. If you're listening to this and you are struggling with your mental health, think about the people who are around you. Think about who you trust the most. And if you haven't already asked for help, ask that person or those people. Let them know that you're struggling. Let them know that you're not being rude by not answering the phone or answering the door or texting back. Let them know that you're still thinking about them and you still want them in your life. You just need a minute. You need to work out what's going on in your life and how you can make it better. Because going off the grid and just ignoring people pushes more people away. And I get that when it comes to feeling at your lowest, sometimes we push people away to see who will come back. But it's a very dangerous game to play. Everyone has a cut-off point, and everyone has a point where they won't take any more. So they're maybe giving and getting nothing back. And this isn't me judging you, because I've done it, and I've done it many times over 20 something years. It doesn't make it right because I've done it. But what I'm saying is, we all do it when we're lost. We all shut ourselves away because we think we can make things better ourselves or by ignoring it. Nothing is fixed by ignoring it. The only way you can fix something is by moving forward, making decisions, and finding out when day one is. When's your day one? Has your day one already came? Have you started your process? Or are you still trying to figure out when your day one is? Why not make day one today? Pick up the phone and let anybody, whether it be a friend, a family member, a colleague. It may even be that you phone one of the many charities that are on the other end of the phone for advice. It may be that tomorrow you phone your GP, or today you email a therapist. Whatever it may be, make this your day one. Make this a time where you want to grow stronger again. You want to be the person you were. Be a better version of the person that you are or were. We all want everybody to have a happy, healthy life. And that includes yourself. And it can be the happiest, healthiest life you've ever had. I know that now, 20 something years on from when I first started struggling with my mental health, I am probably one of the best versions of myself. That doesn't mean I don't struggle anymore. I still struggle. I still take daily medication. I still have to take the same advice as I give to my clients. I still have to go through the same procedures that my clients have to go through, and anybody that's struggling with their mental health goes through. There's ways that we can help ourselves, and I still do that every single day. Some ways to help yourself can be writing down your emotions. Meditating can be a very good one, very beneficial. Speaking about what's going on in your head and don't hold it into yourself. Recognising when you start to feel yourself spiral or you start to feel your thoughts changing. Because the sooner that you can recognise that, and obviously the longer that you've struggled with your mental health, the easier, I suppose, it would be to recognise when your thoughts are changing. Then the sooner that you recognise that, the sooner that you can start getting the support that you need again. And you might think that because I'm a therapist, stroke counsellor, that I recognise it much sooner than anybody else would. That's not the case. I can recognise it in other people. It doesn't necessarily mean that I recognise it in myself any quicker than what you would. But I have learned over the years what works for me and what doesn't. One of the things that does work for me is keeping myself busy, keeping myself occupied, keeping a routine. Many things. But what works for me might not be the same as what works for you, and you have to find your thing. You have to find what works for you. Your thing might be being out in the outdoors daily, exercising, walking. It could be going to the gym. It could be making sure you go to work every day. Or even just playing with the children. It might just be that you need an hour to yourself every day. Whatever works for you, ensure that you recognise what it is and make that your go-to. Finishing off today's episode, I think we'll just talk about, well, not finishing off, just finishing off this section. If you're unsure about a friend or a family member and whether they are struggling and you don't want to approach them because you don't know the right thing to say, or you don't know how to go about it, you don't want to offend them, whatever it may be, or maybe you know that you've got a friend or a family member who's going through a certain situation that is upsetting, whether it be grief or whether it be they're going through a marriage separation, relationship broken up, maybe they've got children that have just left in the house and they're having empty nest syndrome, it could be menopause, many, many, many things that can affect people every day that doesn't mean to say that they're going to end up with, in inverted commas, mental health issues, but is making them feel a certain way. You can email myself and I can give you as much advice as possible. We could talk about it over the phone. Obviously, there's no fee for asking questions. But if you want to email into the podcast, it is rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message any of the social media pages and we can figure out a way, the best way to discuss it with you, whether it be over email stroke message or whether it be I give you a call and try and help you figure out the best way going forward. I don't mind helping. I would love to have a magic wand and make everybody better, but unfortunately life isn't as simple as that. But yeah, let's see how many people we can help and all be there for each other. I think that's the best way to think about it, is be kind to each other. And be kind has been a big thing over the last few years. A lot of you hear it all the time. And it's very easy to say be kind, but it's the actual being kind that a lot of people find more difficult. So yeah, be kind to friends, family, strangers, anybody. There's no need for any kind of hatred towards people. If you feel that way towards somebody, just don't speak to them, just don't interact with them, just walk away, swipe off the app, swipe off their page, whatever it may be. Just don't entertain it, because it's going to rile you up, I suppose, and to an extent it's not going to bother them as much. They maybe laugh at you, or they maybe just forget about what you've actually said. They just won't give you the time of day. But you're going to constantly think about that for the rest of that day and potentially a lot longer. Building each other up is another thing, which is about building each other's confidence. So if somebody is going for a job interview, college, uni, whatever it may be, let them know the skills they've got. Let them know that, well, this is what you've got that you can take into this job. Let's do role play of your interview. Help them. Help each other, because people that we care about, people that we love, people that we have round about us, we want the best for them. So why wouldn't you want to help somebody get the job, the college course, the uni course that they want to be in? Help them with that. If somebody's about to be a parent and they're panicking, let them know all the good qualities they've got to make them amazing parents, the parents that they are destined to be. There's many other situations where we can build each other up, but that's just a few examples. If you're thinking about what I said earlier on about the whole medication thing and you still think that that's not your thing, that's absolutely fine. There are many holistic therapies out there, and I think we spoke about them slightly last week. I don't know if you've listened to last week's podcast or not, but we kind of touched on it slightly. Again, I won't give any information or anything about any holistic therapies that I don't know anything about and that I'm not kind of clued up on. But meditation comes with huge benefits. It can clear your mind, clear your thoughts in that moment. It can re-energise you, kind of grounds you back to where you want your head to be. And if you've never meditated before, you might think, oh, that's not for me, or I don't know how to do it properly. It's very simple once you know how, and it doesn't have to be 10, 15, 20 minutes. It can be 30 seconds. It can be 10 seconds at a time. It's all about your breathing. It's all about not thinking, clearing your mind, having that sort of empty space in your head, which most people that know me will probably say I've got 24/7, but hey ho. But yeah, it's clearing your mind. It's taking that moment not to think about whatever's troubling you and getting your breathing techniques corrected again. Breathing in and breathing out. There's a few YouTube videos, or many YouTube videos. If you're unsure how to do it, go on YouTube, have a wee scoot about, have a wee look to see what one you connect with. There's obviously massage. Different types of massage techniques as well can help. You've got your basic massage. You've got obviously Indian head massage, hot stone massage, cupping therapy massage. There's lots and lots, and they all have benefits towards your mental health, along with many ailments that you might have. So they can help with anxiety. In that moment, you're relaxing. You're going to be re-energised, the same as with a meditation, but in a different way. You've also got things like Reiki. Now again, I'm not fully clued up on that, but we may touch on that next week, and I'll speak about that shortly. You've got things like hot ear candling, which again, it can help with anxiety and many other things. But obviously the most important thing to get you back to being you is going to be talking. Talking therapy, counselling, however you want to describe it, is the most beneficial thing when it comes to your mental health that you will ever find. Because you are getting all those thoughts out there, you're getting information on how to readjust, how to deal with what's going on in your head. And the longer you keep those thoughts in your head, the more that they will overtake, the more that they will affect, disturb your life. So again, let's make today your day one. And whether it be you want to try meditation first, massage, speak to your GP, speak to a therapist, whatever it may be, please, please, please ask for help. Now, I'm going to talk about, I don't have any life stories again this week, two life stories, but I will give you a little insight into next week. Next week, I have got my first guest coming on. And in actual fact, it's one of my oldest friends, potentially an age, but what I mean is how long I've known her. We've been friends since we were about 12 or 13, and we are kind of working alongside each other in certain ways, or will be, should I say. She's not quite started up yet, but she's getting there. She's getting all the wheels in motion, I guess is the best way to say it. So yeah, we've got Ainsley coming on next week, and we will be talking about a few different things that you can do to help yourself. I'm not 100% sure exactly what we're going to be talking about, because we're going to discuss it over the next few days. But it will be things that we find beneficial, things that we do every day. It'll be more down your sort of holistic routes, your self-care routes. Yeah, what you can do to help yourself, what you can do with your friends to help each other. Because we've all, I suppose, depending on what age you are, I'm technically what you might class as middle age. So I have a lot of experience, but yeah, depending on what age you are, you might think that you've got experience of having to help friends, having to help family, loved ones, whoever it may be. If you do, write in, let us know, give us your tips on what you do to help. What's your go-to? Do you do something that nobody's ever heard of? Let's see. Let's see how many different tips we can get in that maybe I've not even heard of. Maybe I've not used, and maybe I may use it in the future if it's a good one. Yeah, if you've got any questions for us, write in. Again, it's on all our social medias. The messages are opened. You can get us on Reboot Your Thoughts podcast at gmail.com. This is quite a quick one this week because obviously, as we said at the start, I got my days mixed up. We're running late as usual. Everything has just been kind of upside down this week, and I think it's one of those weeks that I'm glad it's almost the end of the week. Come the weekend, I was going to say I can relax, but no, I work 7 days a week, so there's not much relaxing going on here. I also still keep up my studies, study anything new, anything that I would like to add into my business. So I am studying, I am working, I am, yeah, doing a bit of everything. I am going to end it there and then start working on next week's. Hopefully all you lovely people will have something to write in with. I'm still looking for people that do have some true stories, whether it be funny, sad, in between, indifferent, however you may describe it, please write in. We love hearing true stories, and I am very nosy as well, is another reason. But yeah, because most of the things that I watch on TV are like true crime, true stories, true anything. I like reading autobiographies, all these different things. So if you do want to write in, then yeah, feel free. Obviously everything will be confidential unless you give permission otherwise. No names, no destination, no nothing, unless you again say that we can. But for now, take care, and I will be back next Wednesday, and it will 100% be Wednesday next week, I promise. And hopefully we'll have a good one next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, enjoy your weekend. Thank you, bye.